Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Before we go any further, I want to bring in Siobhan O'Connor, former executive assistant to the Bishop. And she was the lady who was on 60 Minutes, et cetera, known as a whistleblower, if you will, within the diocese in some quarters. Ms. O'Connor, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for this opportunity, Tom. I appreciate it.
Have you any inside information on the leave of absence from Father Richard?
Well, you know, since I'm no longer privy to the inner workings of the Chancery, I really was stunned, as many people were, to read that statement from the diocese. It didn't seem to reflect at all the press conference that was held this morning by a seminarian who was leaving the seminary, and it kind of came out of nowhere. So it's really quite a shock.
Ms. O'Connor, as far as the doings at the seminary, is this all, to you as somebody who is in the inner workings, does it have the ring of truth? And if it does, why?
With regards to the
sexual harassment and the lack of will to do anything about it.
Yes, unfortunately, I believe that to be very much the case. I believe that many of our seminarians have had to put up with this for decades now, and these two seminarians are now stepping forward and saying that if this is the priesthood being offered to them in this diocese, they don't want it. And that's a terrible tragedy.
You know, I'm going to ask you a question which may be stupid, but it wouldn't be the first time I've asked a stupid question. And it is this. Do you think that there is any possibility that Father Richard may have been privy to the allegations made about what was going on at the seminary and may have failed to communicate that information to the bishop? And that is why, after consulting with legal counsel, he may have taken the leave of absence. And I ask that question with the full knowledge that your answer would be as conjecture-filled as my question.
Correct. And I can only speak from my experience with Father Richard. He was always completely forthright, honest. He was never complicit in anything. He was always one who wanted to bring forth the truth, not to cover it up. So I cannot imagine, knowing him and knowing his personality and his character as I do, I simply can't imagine that that would be the case, that he would have failed to report any abuse that was taking place. He himself is a victim of sexual abuse by a priest of our diocese. I know he would not be complicit in any kind of cover-up.
You know, this, and maybe not so much to you, but for a lot of us, I don't want to say tidal wave, but the drip, drip, drip of allegations, in particular from the seminarians, and then followed by the leave of absence of Father Richard. I can only imagine what this has to do to the inner workings of any organization. And you mentioned, of course, before, your key role within the Chancery.
Yes, and I honestly don't know what's going on there. It seems to be in complete turmoil. And so much of what they say in these statements is either cryptic or confusing or just unrelated. And when I was speaking with a correspondent from Rome yesterday who was inquiring about our diocese, I said, you know, it seems as though our diocese is just slowly bleeding to death because, like you said, there's just been these constant reports and allegations and stories. And I just wish that we had a leader, a bishop, who could take care of this problem instead of contributing to it.
Well, you have been saying for quite some time that you do not believe this bishop should continue with his bishopric and should step down.
Yes, and I very, very emphatically would state that again today, because we really do need a leader. Now there's even more confusion amongst people. There's rumors and gossip and just the confusion of not knowing what is going on, and is anyone even taking care of this problem? That's why when I spoke to the correspondent in Rome, I beseeched him. I said, please, we need help from from Rome. Bishop Malone clearly is not going anywhere, but we need an investigation in this diocese because we don't know who to trust. And that's a terrible place to be in.
I would like to pick it up from there. Ms. O'Connor, would you be willing to hold on through the news break so we can get some additional perspective from you as somebody who has been there and as somebody who was one of the original whistleblowers, if you prefer?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Thank you.
Siobhan O'Connor is with us. And, you know, this story about Father Richard, the personal secretary to Bishop Malone, taking a leave of absence from his position, doing so after apparently consulting with attorneys, the announcement being made today. We're talking with Siobhan O'Connor. You certainly remember the name. And her statement, and I want to read the statement that she put out. It was a privilege to work with Father Richard Bernat for 3 years. I'm a better person and a stronger Catholic because of him. Since I am no longer privy to the inner workings of the Chancery, I can only note that the diocese's cryptic statement makes it clear this is a highly unusual situation. Whatever is going on in there, I can tell you one thing. I have total trust in Father Richard's selfless commitment to the priesthood, our diocese, and our Lord. Father Richard's name is Polish for Richard, which means that I worked closely with two Richards during my time in the Chancery. One of them I trust with my whole heart. The other is Bishop Malone. Siobhan, would you like to expand upon those final two sentences?
Yes, certainly it was initially a privilege to work with both of them, but unfortunately I came to know that Bishop Malone was not the man I thought he was. What he was saying in public did not match what he was doing behind closed doors in the Chancery. But on the contrary, Father Richard became even more the man that I thought he was. He was always charitable, cheerful. He was filled with courage and conviction, and he's a man I can trust as a priest, as a person. I really don't know what's going on, but I can only tell you that time and time again, Bishop Malone lost my trust, and every time, Father Richard maintained and increased my trust in him.
Obviously, we would have no way of knowing this as an absolute fact at this point, but knowing what you know about the inner workings of the diocese and, obviously the scrutiny under which the diocese is right now, do you think that there's any chance that Father Richard may flip or turn on the diocese and reveal information that he has otherwise kept secret?
Well, I mean, I've been saying for a year now that I would hope that there would be more whistleblowers anywhere, nationwide or more close at hand. I can't speak to that. I know that, he's always been a man who is trustworthy, and I trust in however he's going to deal with the situation that he's in. It's got to have been very difficult to be in the Chancery as he was the past year. I couldn't have stood hardly a day longer. So I admire his stamina, and I'm praying for him that come what may, that he will be well, and that our diocese will be healed.
Now, are you taking any heat whatsoever regarding your very public position on what is going on within the Diocese of Buffalo? I mean, for example, have you been called a Judas? Have those calls increased or decreased?
Yes. Yes, just on Sunday, I was told by several people that I should be in jail, that I should have minded my own business, some people have likened me to Martin Luther, Judas, others of that ilk, in terms of either being a traitor or causing division. And I do believe that that's because people are struggling with this entire situation. They don't know who to trust. They would like to trust the bishop and to be able to have faith in him and his leadership. But unfortunately, we're seeing yet again, here's a situation with the NOAC allegations that were raised today again. It's very similar to the Father Yetter case last August. And we see that whenever there's a problem, Bishop Malone tries to avoid it or ignore it. And then if he can't, he tries to cover it up, even when it's a matter of abuse. And that's what I simply can't abide by. So I don't care what people call me,
right?
Because at the end of the day, I have a clear conscience.
Siobhan, the biggest single mistake, in your opinion, and this, of course, does cover the time in which you were an employee, the bishop has made has been what?
That he has not been honest with the people of Buffalo regarding the scope of the abuse tragedy in our diocese, and at the same time that he has contributed to that tragedy by his own decisions and judgments, which he admits were wrong when it comes to adult abuse. So he hid a cover-up, and then he added to it. And at the same time, he has refused to step down, and he has perpetuated this confusion and strife within our diocese. But it's a matter of honesty and integrity that he lacks.
Without intending to betray any of the sanctity of private communications that you may have you had communications with Father Richard since your absence from the diocese, perhaps recent communications?
Well, I've always tried to be, you know, myself whenever I've been recently in his presence when he would be at those listening sessions the bishop has held. So I waved and I smiled, but I've tried to respect where he's at. I hope that he knows that I'm still very much his friend, and certainly, I'm praying for him, but I've had to respect the fact that he's in a really tough situation, and associating with me is probably the last thing he needs right now. So I've really given him space.
You are obviously, you sound like a very faithful Catholic. Your advice or your words to other people who are hearing your voice on this radio station who do consider themselves faithful Catholics but who are very concerned over what is going on right now and the most recent allegations within the diocese, your words would be what?
They would be that we must keep the faith. As difficult as it is at this time, our faith is in Jesus Christ and his teachings, and those remain the same no matter who the bishop is, no matter what the situation in the diocese. So please encourage people to keep the faith and to have hope and trust that the truth will be revealed. We know that eventually it always is. In this case, it's been a real saga, a real dramatic situation, but we do have faith in our Lord, and he is the way and the truth and the life. And if we focus on him, we'll get through this. But I also encourage people to please not listen to the gossip and rumor that is running rampant right now. We need to just wait and pray and know that the truth will be revealed.
Well, yeah, I mean, facts, it sounds silly to say it, but obviously facts are really important things, especially, you know, dealing with a situation of such magnitude and such seriousness to so many people. You said at the beginning of our conversation that you had conversations with somebody in Rome, a correspondent in Rome, just the other day. Did you initiate those conversations, or is there that much interest in Rome in what is going on in this diocese halfway across the world?
Yes, in fact, they reached out to me. I was speaking with the Catholic Herald Rome correspondent, and he had been tasked with looking at Vatican oversight of the U.S. dioceses. And his editor said, the first diocese you should look at is Buffalo. And that's why they reached out to me. So they're very concerned about what's going on here, and they're wondering, when is the Vatican going to step in and investigate? So that was the purpose of the interview, and his article was published this afternoon.
Siobhan, one of the things that I want to make sure that I ask you before we let you go, is there anything that I should have asked you that I didn't ask you that you were hoping I had asked you that I failed to do?
Well, you've been wonderful. I really appreciate your excellent questions. I would just add my support for the two seminarians who have resigned from their positions and left the seminary, Stephen and Matthew, and also my pledge of prayerful support for the seminarians who remain. They had a very, very difficult year.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
For them. So I'm just praying for them and praying for everyone in our diocese and just trusting that the truth will come out. It may be painful, but we know that it's what we need to have now. We need the truth.
Well, I am grateful for your time. We're going to see what some of the other folks have to say out there. And obviously, if you think of anything that you say, geez, I wish I would have remembered to have said that, feel free to call us back. Always welcome.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Tom. I appreciate this opportunity very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much. Siobhan O'Connor joining us on News Radio 930 WBEN.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.